主，我们高兴卢弟兄再次回到我们当中，我们就把时间交给卢弟兄。
今天很高兴能够再次有机会来到这个教会分享上帝的话语。
I'm very thankful the opportunity to share God's word in our church.
我们都知道，这个基督教自从2000年来都是一个被人批评最多的一个宗教。
You know, for 2000 years, Christianity has been a religion that's highly criticized by many people.
那么，这个自然论者、无神论者最大的攻击呢？
A lot of atheists attack Christianity.
其实有八项，但是最主要的就是讲到苦难的问题。
There are many reasons people attack Christianity, but one of the main ones is pain and suffering.
就是如果上帝是全善、全知、全能，为什么患难还存在这个世界当中呢？
If God is so benevolent, so nice, so omnipotent.How can they be pain and suffering?
那么第二个攻击基督教的就是讲到神迹的问题。
Second attack on Christianity is the problem of miracle.
特别在近代的时候，科学发达，他们说这个神迹只是我们暂时用不着这个科学的方法去解释嘛。
Especially with the advancement in the science, the discovery, people say we don't really need miracle anymore. Science can explain everything.
其实有科学就不需要神了。
Because we science, we don't need God's miracle anymore.
所以他们就问这个，既然这个是那么大的问题，为什么上帝又把这神迹记载在圣经里面呢？
Why does God record so many miracles in the Bible?
其实我觉得神迹记载在圣经上面是非常绝对必要的。
God record all these miraculous in the Bible because they are very important.
因为我们的信仰乃是根植在神迹的基础上面。
Because to a degree our faith is based on this miraculous that happens.
如果没有神迹的话，就没有基督教。
Because without the miracle, there is no Christianity.
如果没有神迹的话，这个基督教就会垮台。
Without the miracle, there is no strong footing for the Christianity.
如果没有这个神迹的话，这个出埃及记就不会存在。
If there is no miracle, there should not be any Exodus.
如果没有神迹的话，四福音所记载的37个这个超自然的神事实也不会存在。
So if there is no miracle, the 34 miracles recorded in the Gospel are all in vain.
如果没有神迹的话，复活也不成立。
If there is no miracle, there is no resurrection.
但是保罗在圣经里面讲到，基督若没有复活，我们所相信的是枉然，你们所听的也是枉然。
Paul says, without the miracle, everything that we believe or everything that we trust are in vain.
那么我们刚刚读到这个经节呢，很显然就是一个神迹。
What we are going to study today is one of these particular miracles.
神迹跟这个希腊的神话是不同的。
Miracle is very different from myth.
因为在彼得后书第一章第十六节这样说。
In the book of Peter, Bible says,
我们从前将我们主耶稣基督的大能和他降临的事告诉你们，并不是随从乖巧捏造的虚言，乃是亲眼见过他的威荣。
I tell you many of the great deeds of the Jesus Christ is not something that we make up or it is not what we have witnessed.
所以圣经所记载的都不是一个乖巧捏造的虚言。
Whatever is recorded in the Bible is not something that people make up.
And 比如说他们是亲眼看过的。
It's something they are witness. They are the disciple witness.
所以他基督教信仰乃是根植在这个历史性上面。
That's why our faith is based on what happened in the history.
而且也根据这个eyewitness, 就是证据。
It's according to eyewitness.
所以我们今天就看看耶稣所行的第一个神迹。
We want to go into study the first miracle that Jesus performed.
那么经文里面一开始就讲到第三日。
on the scripture start with on the third day.
那么这里讲到一个婚宴。
It talk about a wedding banquet.
那么这个犹太人的婚宴呢，不是一天几个小时，而是一个礼拜之久。
Usually a Jewish banquet not just for a few hours, but last a whole week.
所以他们讲到第三天，就是这个事情发生在婚礼。欢乐的第三天。
So this is on the third day of such a banquet.
那么那天呢，耶稣跟他的门徒也在其中。
Jesus and his disciples were in the banquet.
他们也被邀请到那个地方。
They were invited to attend.
那个地方就是加利利省的一个叫迦拿的地方。
It was in the Canaan of Galilee.
我们就是加利利这个地区，就是耶稣出来传道的地方。
Galilee is where Jesus first come to spread the good news.
那么这个佣人突然间跟这个管会堂人说，管在婚姻的人说，酒已经用光了。
At that time, the servant comes to tell the manager of the banquet that we have no more wine.
那么玛利亚就开始讲话。
And Mary began to talk.
那么我们不知道为什么玛利亚在这个时间她要出面呢？
We don't know why Mary was involved.
我们相信可能他在这个安排的婚姻里面呢，是扮演一个管理的角色。
Maybe Mary is involved in the arrangement of the banquet.
他就看着耶稣说
，So he talked to Jesus.
已经没有酒了。
He said they have no more wine.
那么耶稣给他一个看起来很不能被人接受这个回答。
But Jesus responded in a way that don't seem to be acceptable.
他说女人啊，我与你有什么相干呢？
He said, woman, what's that got to do with me?
我的时间还没有到。
My time is not yet.
那么我们就看看到底是什么意思。
We want to look at what does this mean?
因为这里讲到他有问题的时候马上面向基督。
When Mary has a problem, he goes to Jesus.
那么这里首先我们就学到一个功课。
Here is a lesson for us to learn.
这是从玛利亚学到了，就是我们的功课，就是我们要信靠耶稣。
Like Mary, we want to come to trust in Jesus.
信靠了什么？信靠他是一个供应的主。
We want to trust that he is somebody who can surprise our needs.
信靠他是能。
We want to trust that he is able.
这个信靠的功课不是那么容易去学。
The lesson of trust is not an easy one.
但是有时候我们可以从小孩子当中，我们可以学到一点点功课。
Very often we can learn from little children.
我的儿子有一个女儿，就是我的孙女。
My son has a child. That's my granddaughter.
她刚刚过了一岁。
She just 1 year old.
那么她常常把这个可爱的孙女的放在她肩膀上面。
She often put her daughter on top of her shoulder.
然后他就在那边跳又跳跳。
So they were dancing around.
那个小孩子就很高兴。
And the kid was so strong.
那么我在祖父看到的就是很紧张，那万一那么高的摔下来怎么办呢？
But every time I see, I get nervous. What if she falls?
如果我是这个 baby 的话，我也是很怕。
If I was a baby, I would be very scared.
但是我看到这个婴孩呢，并没有怕，而且非常的高兴。
But I see the baby was so happy.
那么这里就看到我们一个完全信靠顺服的一种功课。
There's an image of trusting here for us.
那么我们今天说要信靠耶稣，到底我们的根据在哪里呢？
We say we want to trust Jesus. What are the basis for that?
我们乃是根据耶稣基督给我们的应许。
We trust him based on what he has promised to us.
那么耶稣曾经跟我们说，你们要先求他的国与他的义，这一切日用的饮食都要赐给你们。
Because Jesus said that seeking first the kingdom of God and everything else will be given to you.
然后大家最喜欢的诗篇23篇也这样子讲，耶和华是我的牧者，我必不致缺乏。
Also in Psalm 23, the Bible said that the Lord is my shepherd, I should have no.
那耶稣不但是在物质上面，供给我们的需要，他在属灵方面。但我们在危机方面，他也与我们同在。
Not only does God always supply our material need, He always also supply what we need spiritually.
所以他说，诗人说，我虽然行过死荫的幽谷，也不怕遭害。
That's why the psalmist say, even though I walk through the valley of death, I shall fear no evil.
为什么不怕遭害呢？
Why he is not fear of evil?
诗人就加了一句很重要的话。
He adds the reason.
因为你与我同在。
Because you are with me.
诗篇二十三篇有一个非常令人惊讶的一个发现。
Psalm 23 is a surprise discovery.
就是你与我同在这句话呢，是整个诗篇的在中间的地方。
You know that thou art with me is a verse that is right in the middle of the psalm.
在这句话的前边，原文有二十六个字。
There were 26 words before that.
在这句话的后面也有二十六个字。
After that, there are another six characters.
更奇怪的就是和合本也是如此。
Even true in the Chinese Bible.
我不知道翻译的人是不是有想到这一点。
I don't know what that's doing on purpose.
你与我同在前面有六十七个字。
For you are with me, there are total 67.
后面也有六十七个字。
And there's 67 afterwards.
如果我们把整本圣经的一章一章的数下去了，最中间的章数是诗篇一百一十八篇。
If you look at the Bible, right in the middle is Psalm
118. 然后在诗篇一百一十八篇的中间句是这样子说。
And right in the center of Psalm 168 is.
他说：“投靠耶和华的，强势依靠王子。”
It's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in the priest.
下面一句说：“投靠耶和华的，强势依靠人。”
It's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man.
这圣经一直告诉我们，我们要信靠耶和华。
Constantly, the Bible teaches us to trust in God.
要超过依靠人。
More than trusting in man.
但是我们不是说我们不要靠人。
Now that we should not trust people.
那这样子我们就有一个骄傲了。
That would be arrogance.
那是我们要依靠神。
We must come to trust God.
但是神有时候会预备一些人去帮助我们。
Very often, God supplies other people to help us.
那我们再思想一下，耶稣说：“妇人啊，我与你有什么相干？”
So Jesus say, "What's that to do with me, woman?"
那我相信我们没有一个人叫我们的母亲是女人吧
？I don't think anybody call our mom woman.
其实这个女人就是 madam， 就是女士的意思。
It meant madam.
那么这个女士呢，并没有说要贬低女性的意味在里面。
There's no implication of belittling Mary.
但是对于一个妈妈来讲，你这样说了，就好像你没有一种亲切感、亲爱感。
But still, it doesn't seem like there's an affection in the response.
那耶稣为什么会这样称呼他的母亲？
Why does Jesus address his mother that way?
那我们就看看耶稣的生平。
Let's look at the life of Jesus.
那么耶稣在他预备的时间呢，是在这个加利利这一带。
While Jesus was preparing himself in the land of Galilee.
所以他有三十年的时间是做一个木匠的儿子。
For 30 years, he was a carpenter's son.
那么约瑟就是他地上的爸爸，也是一个木匠。
Joseph, his father, was a carpenter.
他也跟他爸爸做同样的工作。
They were doing the same work.
但是到了他大概三十岁的时候，他就不再做这个工作了。
At the age of 30, Jesus began to come out.
因为他的身份向世人表明不要改变。
Because his status is changing.
本来他跟妈妈的关系是儿子跟母亲的关系。
In that 30 years, he was a son to Mary.
但是现在他又清楚告诉他母亲，他现在跟他的关系乃是救主跟罪人的关系。
Now he makes it very clear. Now the relationship has changed. He's now a savior and a sinner.
那么这里就说明到了，他母亲也有原罪。
It also makes clear that Mary is also a sinner.
那么这里呢，就把我们的基督教跟天主教分别出来了。
This begins to distinguish Protestant from the Catholic.
因为现在教宗也来了美国，所以新闻那边就很热闹，所以提这个天主教也是很适合的。
Now the Pope is in New York. The newspaper talk about him all the time.
他们怎么称这个圣母呢？就是玛利亚做圣母。
They call Mary the Mother of God.
那么圣母呢，是代表什么 ？Immaculate Mary 就是一个纯洁无瑕的。
Immaculate is someone who is completely pure.
就是说的她没有原罪，也不会犯罪。
She had no sin and no original sin.
那么这个显然跟我们基督教的教导，跟圣经的教导完全不同。
This is so different from the Protestant.
所以耶稣也知道后面要发生的事情，所以他阐明一个道理，就是玛利亚也需要救助。
He here Jesus implied that Mary too is a sinner.
然后他又说一句话，我的时候还没有到。
Many Jesus replied that my time is not yet
come.
Not yet come.
但是看到这句话，我们也不懂。
We did not understand it before.
但是如果我们把整个四福音一看的时候，我们就知道他到底是说明一个什么事情。
But if you look in context of the four gospel, you will begin to understand.
就说明他十字架的时间没有到。
He said the time for his suffering the cross.
但是弥赛亚的时间已经开始了。
But the time for Messiah has begun.
换句话说，他是断言，他就是那位犹太人盼望许久的一个弥赛亚。
He is asserting that he was the Messiah that the Jewish people have been looking for.
那么我现在稍微中间插了一个轻松的故事。
I want to interrupt with a humorous incident.
那么有个孩子刚刚上完主日学以后，回家第二天，妈妈说：“啊，孩子，你把这个垃圾桶拖出去嘛。”
After going to the Sunday school, the child was at home, and mom said, "Take out the garbage."
他说：“不然，我与你有什么相干呢？”
So the kid said, "Woman, what's that got to do with me?"
他妈妈就说：“你为什么突然在跟我讲这句话？”
Mom said, "Why you talk to me like that?"
啊，我是跟耶稣讲，效法耶稣啊。
I learned that from Jesus Christ.
妈妈就很气了。我不然你讲什么，你马上就帮我去做。
Mom gets so angry. You do the garbage now.
我的时候还没有到。
那
么妈妈也聪明，她说你可不可以把水变成酒了？
Now can you change the water into wine, Mom said.
那么这个故事就告诉我们呢，常常我们会扭曲真理，为了我们自己的方便。
It's so easy for us to distort the interpretation of the scripture.
所以有一个另外故事也跟这个很相似。
There's also another story.
就是有个人去钓鱼。
Someone went fishing.
但是他的钓鱼的方法很奇怪，钓了大鱼的时候，他把它丢回去。
But the way he fishing very strange. He throw away the big fish.
小鱼呢，再放在这个桶子里面。
But he keep all the small.
那么有些人一直看就觉得非常奇怪。
He was seeing they feel very strange.
那么就去问他。
They ask him.
他说我家里的键盘只有八寸那么大。大鱼我放不进去。
He said because I only have a small pot at home, I cannot they cannot hold big fish.
所以我们有没有想到我们自己呢？常常为了我们自己的方便，扭曲上帝的真理。
We very often like that, distort the scriptures so that to suit our own understanding.
好像一个鞋子太小了，我把我的脚趾隔断一样。
就是 the shoe is too small, then we cut off our toes.
然后回到我们的故事，就是玛利亚马上对她的。对那些周围的仆人这样子说。
So in back to the story of the gospel, Mary told the servant.
那么耶稣说，他还加一句话，你要听耶稣的话。
He told the servant, do whatever Jesus tell you to do.
那么耶稣就告诉这些仆人们，把这个六个石缸通通灌满水。
So Jesus told the servant to fill the six pots with water.
那么这个石缸本来是。根据犹太人的规矩，用来做洁净的用了。
These big water jars are used for cleansing.
那么每一个石缸呢，大概可以放30 gallon 那么多的水。
Usually one of these water jars can hold maybe 30 gallon of water.
你知道你的汽车只能放15 gallon， 它是30 gallon。
Your car hold maybe 15 gallon of gas.
所以呢，这些水呢足够一个礼拜用。
So that is plenty of water in there.
那么这些仆人就听他的话。
So the servant followed Jesus' directions.
所以这里我们学到一个功课，就是耶稣叫我们做什么，我们虽然不明白，但是我们要根据他的旨意去行。
Here from the servant, we should learn that we should follow whatever Jesus tells us to do.
责任是我们的，但是结果是上帝的。
It is for us to obey.The result God will decide.
在圣经里面也有另外一个故事阐明这个真理。
There is also another story that show this lesson.
就是西门彼得有一天早上，他是觉得非常的困惑。
One morning, Simon Peter was very puzzled.
也觉得很挫折、泄气。
He was feeling frustrated.
因为他整个晚上钓不到鱼。
Because the whole night they were fishing, they did not catch any.
所以他就把这个网洗干净，收拾起来了，准备回家睡觉。
They put away the net, ready to wrap up.
更使他难受的就是当天呢有很多人前拥后退的在他旁边。
Another thing, there are so many people around him.
所以他脑筋所想到的就是睡觉。
So he wants to go back to take a rest.
但是耶稣有他特别的旨意。
But there, Jesus have another idea.
他说你看到水深之处。
Jesus told him to put the ship, boat to the deep area.
那么这些门徒就觉得很烦躁。
I'm sure the disciples are frustrated.
而且彼得跟安德烈的就好像彼此扁一下眼。
Indeed, Andrew and Peter, they look at each other.
就好像有点不服气的样子。
They were not happy about it.
他说耶稣你会讲到我知道但是我们是渔夫啊。
They probably think, Jesus, indeed, you are a great speaker, but we are the fishermen.
And 根据渔夫的看法就是在晚上在潜水里面你才可以钓到鱼。
The only place you can catch fish are at night time is in the shallow
water. 但是耶稣叫他做的事情刚刚跟他的想法相反。
But Jesus tells him to do something opposite.
他说你要开到水深之处不是水浅的地方。
He said go to the deep end.
而且那天是差不多正午的时间。
You walk in the noontime.
所以这两个门徒就很不高兴但是也给个面子给耶稣。
Even though the disciple was not happy about they obeyed.
所以他就开始讲话了。
So Jesus began to speak.
他说我的老师啊
He said,
我们已经整夜劳力都打不到鱼。
He said, teacher, we've been working all night, but we did not catch anything.
然后他说一句话既然你叫我做我就去做吧。
But since you asked us to do it, we will follow your instructions.
那我们在日常生活当中也有这种感觉。
Do we? It's something that we don't experience.
有时候主耶稣叫我做的事情跟我们普通一般的想法不同啊。
Very often Jesus asks us to do things that not what we think.
但是既然是主耶稣的话，我们有时候也要勉强去做。
Since these are the word of Jesus, maybe we want to
obey. 所以我觉得，个人觉得，一个勉强的顺服也是会讨神的喜悦的。
I personally think even a reluctant obedience is a
pleasing to God. 因为神知道我们的软弱。
Because he knows our weakness.
我们的思想也是他赐给我们的。
He knows our mind.
有时候他知道我们想不通。
He knows we cannot.
但是如果我们有一个愿做的心呢，还是神所喜悦的。
But if we are only willing, even God will be pleased.
那么彼得跟安德烈就把这个网放到水深之处。
So Peter and Andrew cast the net into deep water.
一把网丢下去的时候，马上就很多很多的鱼。
Once they cast the net, the net was filled with fish.
这个船都要快要沉下去了。
The ship is in danger of capsizing.
那么这个是一个好消息啊。
This is very good news.
打鱼人做了很多鱼，你说好不好
？A fisherman with a net full of fish.
但是这个门徒马上就跪下来。
But he said, Peter, kneel down before Jesus.
他说：“耶稣，你离开我吧。
”He said, Leave me, Jesus.
因为我是一个罪人。
Because I'm a sinner.
但是耶稣给他的回答也是很奇妙。
And Jesus replied to them,
他知道他在怕。
He know they are fearful.
他说不要怕。
He said, Do not be afraid.
从今以后你要得人了。
He said, From today on, you should be fisher of men.
那么你整夜拿不到鱼，现在打到很多鱼，应该就把这些鱼拿到市场去卖啊。
Since they walk all night without anything, now with all these fish, they should be going to the market.
但是他们却把这些鱼呢放在岸边。
They leave the fish by the shore.
他说这些鱼我不要了，我要跟从耶稣。
They abandon the fish to follow Jesus.
这里牵涉到一个神学上的问题。
Here is related to a theological question.
就是一个神的呼召是没有后悔的。
When God calls, there is no regret.
神有两个呼召，一个是内在的呼召，一个是外在的呼召。
He calls us both internally and externally.
我们今天。成为基督徒蒙恩的人也是先有神内在的呼召
Today we are pushing because God called us in our heart
然后经过一些弟兄或者牧师有外在的呼召我们就接受耶稣基督做我们的救主
And then through a lot of brothers and sisters we come to accept him
所以我们看到一个道理就是如果我们听耶稣的话的时候呢
We see that if we obey Jesus Christ
首先我们可以经历到他的供应
We're going to experience God's surprise.
然后我们也可以改变我们的人生观。
we will begin to experience change in our mindset.
这些门徒本来是看到世界上重要的东西，就是他们的名誉。
The disciple can only see the important thing in that in the world before.
但是当他听到耶稣的话的时候，他说这些不重要了。
After they heard the words of Jesus Christ, they realized these are not so important after all.
他们的眼光就看到永恒。
Their eyes begin to see eternity.
他们就跟随了耶稣。
So they follow him.
我在这里顺便插进几句话。
Here I want to interrupt with something.
因为在美国现在很流行一个神学叫成功神学。
This is a very popular theology called
prosperity theory.
Prosperity theology.
成功神学呢，就是要我们注目在今生、财富、健康方面。
Prosperity theology teaches about wealth and good health.
这个非常得到美国人的认同。
These are something that was very popular among.
但是这个不是圣经的教训。
But indeed, this is not a biblical teaching.
所以我是可以称它是一个异端。
I would call this is
heresy.
Heresy.
所以我们应该要有一个永恒的眼光。
We must have an eternal mindset.
然后我们再回到这个故事的内容。
Let's go back to that the miracle.
那么仆人把这个六个水缸灌满了水以后，他就舀出一烧的东西给这个管盐池的。
After the servant filled the pot with water, they took out some and gave it to the manager of the banquet.
那么这个管盐池的人呢，就他不是内臣内廷，所以他说，哎，每个人都是在开始的时候给客人吃上好的酒，你为什么要等到第三天你才供给客人喝这个那么美好的酒呢？
The manager of the banquet was surprised that everybody served the best wine first, but why did you wait until the third day to serve?
那么这里我也要插进几句话。
Here, this is a lesson for us.
因为有人告诉我，这个随便酒这故事就告诉我们基督徒可以喝酒啊。
Some people say the lesson of the change water into wine that we can drink.
但是我说明我不反对喝酒。
I am not against drinking.
但是我反对醉酒。
I'm against drunk.
因为圣经明明告诉我们，我们不要醉酒。
Because Bible teaches we should not be drunk.
那么在主耶稣筵席里面所变的酒到底是怎么一种酒呢？
So what kind of wine is it changing water into wine?
这有本书叫 To Drink or Not to Drink. 他说喝酒了还是不喝？
There's a book called To Drink or Not to Drink.
那么这本书里面呢，就讲到希腊时代的酒了，特别在筵席里面的酒了，是很轻微的，是。一份酒精大概四分水。
Usually the wine served in the banquet in the Greek time are all very light wine.
因为在巴勒斯坦这个地方，这个水是也许不干净，喝酒是比较卫生一点。
They very often they drink wine in place of water.
那么犹太人的经典在特勒木的 Talmud 上面呢，也有这样子的记载。
In the Jewish Talmud.
也是他讲到这个约节的晚餐所用的酒，就是耶稣。跟门徒洗脚那天晚上用的酒了，也是很轻微的酒精。
They serve wine in the Passover.
如果用今天的话语来讲，就是说22杯那种酒了，才等于今天2杯的马丁尼酒 Martini.
Maybe 22 cup of those wine equivalent to.
所以圣经里面所讲的酒了，是跟我们今天宴会里面那种强烈的酒。是不同的。
So the wine in the Bible are very different from the strong wine that we drink today.
然后这个故事就讲完了。
So that's the story.
但是圣经里面又加一句话。
And Bible adds.
他说这是头一次耶稣所行的神迹。
Bible says that this is the first miracle that Jesus performed.
就是耶稣从木匠变成传道人所行的第一个神迹。
From become a carpenter to become the preacher, the evangelist. This is the first miracle that he performed.
所以我们也可以想象到，既然是第一个神迹，一定有第一个特别的意义。
So what is the special meaning of this first miracle?
到底的意义何在呢？
What is the meaning of this miracle?
圣经也有答案。
Bible also explains.
他说要显明他的荣耀。
The miracle to show forth His glory.
而且还有一个目的。
There's another reason.
就是门徒看见就信了。
So that all His disciples would come to believe.
那么我们就看看这个到底怎么样荣耀神呢？
How does this show forth God's glory?
首先我们看看这个在婚宴里面没有酒是怎么一个事情。
What is it like to have run out of wine in a banquet?
这个是很丢脸的事情。
This is something that is very embarrassing.
所以耶稣拯救他们当时的需要。
Jesus supplied what they need that day.
但是我们要问一下，这个是他的目的吗？
But is that the purpose for the God Jesus' miracle?
难道这个神迹就是为了人要延长人间的欢乐吗？
He just to perform the joy in the banquet today.
我想一定有更深的意思。
Indeed, it's a deeper spiritual meaning.
但我们思想这个更深的意思以后，我们先讲一件事情。
Before we think about this deeper spiritual meaning, there's something I want to mention.
严格来讲，这个神迹这个字在原文里面没有出现。
In fact, miracle is not something that is not in the Bible.
但是有三个字加起来就引发到这个神迹这个观念。
But there are three words that infer to miracle.
这第一个就是能力 ,power.
One is power.
当然了，如果神做了一些超自然的事情，他一定有他的能力在里面。
When God performs something supernatural, it does imply power.
第二个就是一种赞叹。
The other one is amazement.
Wonder. Wonder. 因为这些事情平常不发生，所以我们一看到的时候，我们一定会觉得非常稀奇。
Because this is not something that we see every day. It's wonderful.
我记得我第一次看到这个大峡谷观天园的时候，我第一个一句话跟我自己说就是 Wow.
When I saw the Grand Canyon for the first time, it was a big wow.
我第一次去到加州的优胜美地 Yosemite 呢，我也是 wow 一下。
When I visited Yosemite, I had the same experience.
所以这些门徒看到耶稣的所作所为也是 wow.
So this is what the disciple experienced.
那么第三个字呢就很重要，就是 sign.
The third word is sign.
你看看这个四福音讲的神迹，它大部分用 sign 这个字。
Usually, four gospels use sign to refer to miracles.
Sign 是什么意思呢？就是一个记号。
Sign is an indication.
我们这个英文是 significance， 这个头几个字母就是 sign.
Something significant is a sign.
所以呢，这个记号就是指向一个比它本身更大的一个事情。
Sign is referred to something that's greater.
那到底这个水瓶酒？是指到什么的事情呢？
So what is changing water into wine referring to?
我个人有经过很多的思考。
I have meditated on this for a long time.
我也有相信我这个解释是对的。
I also believe this is the correct interpretation.
就是指到一个生命的改变。
It refers to a changed life.
那就指到我们的重生。
It points to a new birth.
重生跟基督教跟其他宗教最大的不同地方就在这里。
A new life is sometimes very distinct in Christianity.
因为我们相信主耶稣来，并不是叫一个坏人变好人。
We believe that Jesus came not to turn an evil man into a good one.
那是叫一个死人变活人。
But to change a dead person into a living being.
那么这个观念就是重生。
This is the idea of new life.
这个观念就是水变酒所带出来的观念。
This is what the changing water into wine refers to.
那么引发到另外一个问题，那我们为什么要重生？
So why do we need to be born again?
圣经告诉我们，因为我们没有办法。
Because the Bible teaches us we are hopeless.
在耶利米书说，人心比万物都诡诈，坏到极处，谁能识透呢？
The Bible teaches us that the human heart are evil to the extreme. Who can fathom?
我们的罪恶深重，无药可救。
We are so sinful that there is no remedy.
那么我们人的力量、人的尝试也没有办法弥补这个破碎。
Even our human ability can never remedy the problem.
也许我们觉得道德是一个解决问题的方法。
Sometimes we fear morality might help us.
但是圣经断言说，你们的道德只不过是一个破烂的衣服。
But the God referred to our morality as just dirty rag.
你或许说政治也可以一个解决人类问题的办法吗？
Some people think maybe poverty can be a solution for our problem.
那么今年就是联合国建立70周年纪念，大概去年嘛，是70周年纪念。
This year is the 70th anniversary.
就是在第二次世界结束以后，人类发现我们必须有个人的组织去解决世界的问题。
That's when the world realized we need an organization to help the world.
那我请问大家，今天联合国有没有把世界和平带进一步呢？
Has United Nations bring the peace to the world?
有人说我们的好行为也许一个办法。
Some people say maybe our good deed is what is needed.
但是问题他忽略到我们最好的行为也达不到圣洁上帝的标准。
But even our base behavior cannot reach the holiness of God.
啊，也许我们用哲学的方法去解决问题。
Maybe the philosophy can help us.
那么十九世纪有三个很重要的哲学家。
There are three very important philosophers in the 19th century.
一个就是马克思。
One is Marcus.
他的理论就是要建立一个理想国。
His idea is to bring an ideal nation.
但是今天每个人都同意我，这个理想国已经变成泡影。
But we know that all this ideal nation is actually formed.
不但如此，所有实行马克思主义的国家都是落后，都是经济有问题的国家。
In fact, every country that follow Marx's teaching are backwards, are poor countries.
另外，哲学家也是对今天社会很大的影响。
There is another very influential philosopher.
他就是弗洛伊德，就是 Sigmund Freud。
Sigmund Freud
就是一个psychoanalysis， 就是一个心理学家。
Psychoanalysis。
他的重点是在哪里呢？他说
emphasize，
他说性就是人类所有动力。
He says sex drive。
如果一个人的性能够得到满足的时候啊，他就很多问题会自动被解决了。
He says if we can satisfy our sexual desire, everything else will be resolved。
你觉得这个是吗
？You think this is true？
其实他的理论虽然现在今天不是很流行，但是已经把婚姻制度跟家庭制度已经被瓦解，他就是那个原因。
Indeed, his teaching completely ruined a lot of marriage.
然后第三个有名的哲学家就是尼采。
And the other one is Nietzsche.
尼采的一句话去讲到他的理论就是 will to power， 就是意思就是说有权力就可以了。
The core of his teaching is the idea of will to power.
因为他说上帝已经死了。
He said that the God is dead.
当我们没有上帝的时候，人类就有一个很大的真空。
When he said when the God is dead, he create a great vacuum.
这个真空呢，就一定要填满。
That vacuum must be filled.
如果不是上帝呢，就是人的权利。
If not God, man's power must take that place.
那么希特勒呢，非常欣赏他的意思。
Hitler is somebody who followed that idea.
他完完全全接受他的思想。
He completely accepts that teaching.
我们都知道二十世纪是一个最血腥的一个世界，世代，世代。
We know World War II is some of the most bloodiest time in human history.
哲学不能解决人的问题。
Indeed, philosophy cannot save us.
那么我们就说，好吗？教育嘛。
Maybe education can help us.
教育不好吗
？Can education help?
我知道 D.L. Moody 这个牧师呢，是一个学历最低的一个牧师。
You know, Moody is one of the least educated persons.
但是他的影响力是非常的大。
But yet his influence is so great.
他虽然没有什么教育，但是说过一个非常有教育性的故事。
Even though he is not highly educated, he actually said something that's very educational.
他说有个孩子。就是很喜欢去偷东西。
He said a kid who are like to shoplift.
那么他偷什么东西？偷铁轨那些钉子啊，螺丝啊等等这些东西。
He especially like to steal the
nuts and bolts.
Nuts and bolts in the.
那么他父母亲呢就觉得这个孩子怎么办呢
？So his parents was worried about him.
那也许读书会对他有帮助吧。
Maybe they should send him to the school.
这目的就是说，这个父母亲就送他学校去读书。
目的是 that the parents send him to education.
读书毕业以后呢，他又出来了。
After he graduated.
那么这次他就不偷这些螺丝螺钉了。
然后 he stopped stealing nuts and bolts.
他把整个铁轨都偷走了。
然后 he stole the whole railroad.
那么你说这个教育可以解决人的问题吗？
Indeed, an education resolves
problems. 所以我们从各方面来看，就看到人类的困境，唯一的出路就是耶稣基督。
Indeed, to all the dilemma of a human condition is Jesus Christ.
他可以把我们这个平凡的水，这个人生变成一个非常珍贵的酒一样。
Indeed, he can change the plain water into a wonderful wine.
当这种超自然的改变以后，就是我们所谓的重生呢，我们就有一个新的生命。
With this supernatural change, it is a new life experience.
这个新的生命在基督教里面叫 new creation.
The idea of new life is called new creation.
我们常常讲，但是我们也没有问这个问题，到底新在什么东西？
So what's new about new creation?
我想好几方面。
Yeah, three aspects.
第一，我们有新的地位。
We are in a new position.
我们本来是个罪人的地位，现在有站在这个因信称义的地位。
Before we were sinners, now we are made right because of our faith.
我们有个新的生命。
Now we have a new life.
本来是属地的生命，属魔鬼的生命。
Before we are physical, the life of this of the earth.
会死的生命。
A life that will decay.
现在我们有个从上头来的生命，是永不会死的。
Now we receive a life that comes from above, that's eternal.
我们还有个新的生活形态。
There's also a new lifestyle.
就是以福音为重的生活形态。
A lifestyle that's centered around gospel.
真正真的重生的人都有一个渴望要传福音。
Because all of us have a desire to share that gospel, the good news.
我们还有新的性情。
We also have a new character, disposition.
就是我们的倾向乃是跟以前不同了。
Now we our tendency is different.
我们不但有个倾向要做讨神喜悦的事情。
Now we want to please God.
我们还有倾向就是愿意得到神给我们的力量。
We also have a disposition to receive strength from God.
我们也是一个新的家人。
We also become a new family.
所以我们互相称呼大家是弟兄姐妹，因为我们是一家人嘛。
That's why in summer we address each other as brothers and sisters.
我们还有个新的自由。
Also we experience new freedom.
本来我们是被我们的自我去捆绑。
Before we are bound by our old self.
现在我们可以进入爱人的自由。
Now we learn to love other people.
本来我们受这个内疚跟羞耻的捆绑。
Before we are burdened with guilt and shame.
但是我们有一个去饶恕别人的自由。
Now we experience forgiveness.
本来我们是一个罪的奴仆。
Before we were under bondage to sin.
现在我们有个很自由的心态去服侍上帝。
Now we have a heart to serve.
本来我们是被这个偶像所捆绑。
Before we are under idolatry.
现在我们喜悦去荣耀基督。
Now we long to glorify Christ.
我们还有新的胃口。
We also have a new appetite.
这个胃口就是希望做神要我们愿意做的事情。
That appetite to do the thing that pleases to God.
不但我们所做所行被改变。
Not only our action will be changed.
我们胃口也改变了。
Our appetite changed.
我们身份也是新的。
Our position changed. Identity changed.
本来我们是罪的奴仆。
Before we are slave of sin.
现在居然是神的儿子。
Now we are sons of God.
现在居然是神的女儿。
Now we are sons and daughters of God.
有一个小孩子刚刚上完主日学，就跟这个老师说了一段话。
A little kid after Sunday school lesson, talked to the teacher.
他说，耶稣从来没有见过一个妓女。
He said, Jesus never see a prostitute.
那么那个老师说，我们不刚刚不是上完主日学吗？路加福音不是。讲到一个女人啊，当然拿一些香膏膏耶稣的脚，她是一个妓女啊。
Can we just go over the lesson that a prostitute come to anoint Jesus' feet?
那么这个孩子就是说，你们看她是一个妓女，但是耶稣看她是一个女儿。
The child said that we see him as a prostitute, but Jesus see him as a daughter.
因为耶稣对她说，女儿啊。
Because Jesus told him, daughter,
你要不要再犯罪
？Sin no more.
所以呢，我们就看到，当 耶稣所看到的就是我们一个改变的生命。
So what Jesus sees is a changed life.
因为这个女人的生命已经改变了。
Because the woman's life has changed.
她所有的罪已经被赦免。
All his sins are wiped away.
那么今天你我的罪也可以得到赦免。
Today, in the same way, our sin can be cleansed.
只要我们来到上帝的面前。
If only we come to Jesus Christ.
来到救主耶稣基督的面前。
We come to our Savior.
不但承认他是我们的救主。
Not only confess him as our Savior.
也是我们生命的主。
Also, the Lord of our life.
这样子我们就重生了。
In that, we will be born again.
那么简单。
It's just that simple.
所以 Billy Graham 说just as I am 的意思就是说耶稣会照着我们的本相来接纳我们。
Billy Graham said that Jesus will accept us just as I am.
但是他更爱我们，不要我们停留在这一个现在的光景里面，要我们改变。
He loves us more than the way we are. He wants us to grow.
这个照我们的本相接受，就说明一个基督教跟所有宗教最不同的地方。
Just as I am is a very distinct idea in Christianity.
就是讲到神先给我们的生命，让我们重生。
Indeed, God gave us a new life so that we can be born again.
然后他才要求我们去行善。
And we will begin to do good deeds.
当我们得救跟行善。守节清信的时候，我们才去服侍神。
Once we begin to change and we can begin to serve.
所以，我们跟宗教的不同呢，就是在这个秩序的问题。
That's why there's a very distinct difference between Christianity and other religions.
好像出埃及记出埃及一样，神先把他们从埃及为奴之家拯救出来。
Just like in the Bible, God saved the Jews from the slavery first.
让他们是属于上帝的子民。
So they become children of God.
然后马上颁布十诫。
And after God gave them the Ten Commandments.
叫他们的生活上面有道德的规范。
So that they begin to follow the law of God.
他们得救了，他们也知道上帝的律法了。
Once they are saved and they know God's law.
当我们守节清信的时候，上帝就叫他们建立这个会幕。
Once our hands clean, our heart is clean, and God asks them to do.
这个会幕就是敬拜的地方。
The place to worship Him.
但是宗教也有这三个层面，但是它的次序完全相反。
Many religions have these three aspects, but the order are very different.
他说你首先要拜，很诚心诚信去拜。
Most religions say that you come to worship sincerely first.
然后你要做一些好事。
And then you got to do a lot of good deeds.
然后你才会得生命得救。
Finally, you will be saved or be accepted.
就算这样子，你也没有一个得救的确信。
Even after that, there's no assurance of salvation.
这就是我们信仰跟别的宗教不同的地方。
That is so different from what Bible teaches.
他们今天的信息能够让我们基督徒更加欣赏主给我们的恩惠。
And today's sermon let us know that we can appreciate God.
如果你还没有信耶稣的话，也借着神的话语能够知道我们的所信的神是个恩典的神。
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, I want you to know He is the God of grace.
就是那么简单，接受他。
It's just that simple.
他在赐给你们上帝。
He will give you a new life.
他也给你的能力去行他的旨意。
And He also will strengthen you to do His will.
这就是恩典。
This is the grace from God.
我们低头祷告。
Let's pray together.
主，我们谢谢你。
Father, we thank you.
这个随便酒这个故事告诉我们，你就是那位有恩典的神。
We thank you for the lesson of changing water into wine. Indeed, you are God of grace.
你是一位可知道的神。
You are a God that we can come to know.
也是一位赐给我们能力去行善的人。
You are also the one that will give us strength to do the right thing.
我们所盼望的乃是你赐给我们的礼物永生。
Our hope is in you, the gift that you give us, the eternal life.
然后我们的永生就给我们一个永远荣耀的盼望。
An eternal life that give us the eternal hope.
这个盼望让我们生活有意义。
Because through that hope that we can live a meaningful life.
也让我们的服事更加有力。
So that we can serve you effectively.
我们向你祈求祷告是奉耶稣基督的圣名。
We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
们唱我们的